this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it. All while under the influence. Watch, I like break a light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
That's what I'm expecting. Or a camera.
I can't do it. So anticlimactic. For those listening, I'm trying to open a bottle of champagne.
The animal sounds have long stopped.
Oh God, I've lost time. The power of editing, it's going to be beautiful. Oh, I really can't do this.
Just, I don't know.
You try.
I see.
You can do a little baby fart.
I'll just make it kind of loud.
We can add in a sound effect.
Oh, Ashley.
I told you it was hard. I don't think it's my... Oh! Chug.
Good thing you got a ruggable.
Oh my God. Well, welcome.
Welcome back, everybody.
Back.
Welcome back.
That's a way to welcome us back. Wasn't quite the vibe I was going for, but it does feel like chaos is accurate. There's a lot happening right now.
a lot of things.
Woo! I'm gonna get once. And honestly, I just hope that the audio is recording. So.
Yeah, the audio. Let's hope, right?
I mean, that's all we do. We're not professionals.
We hope here. We hope.
Never have There's claimed a lot of hoping. To be. Well, welcome back.
It's so good to see you after months and months.
We were going to take like a month off in the summer, and it is now middle of winter.
Well, let's just update everybody. A lot has happened.
A lot has happened, but let's cheers.
Cheers.
A lot has happened just in the last couple of minutes mm-hmm. that I was not prepared for.
Yeah, I mean, we took off the summer because we both had a lot going on. And then fall happened because, I mean, I got a new job.
Yeah, you did.
And I now work with you.
We're now coworkers again.
We're coworkers. So yeah, it was just, for me, I was drinking water from a fire hose for like the first 3 months. And I couldn't think beyond the workday.
Yeah.
So here we are. That's the big update for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
we'll figure out what our schedule is going into the new year.
I know, 2024. Woo-hoo. That is crazy.
Are you? This will probably.
I didn't think I was going to live this long.
What?
I'm kidding. It just. What? I feel like. Oh my God. So this is why. Earlier today, Facebook showed me a memory that happened 16 years ago.
Don't like that.
I was like, wow, just put me in a coffin now. What? So that's what I meant. 2024 just seemed like, you know, the future of flying cars and. What not? Oh, I'm sorry. Is something wrong with your microphone?
Probably. We're going to hope for the best. You know, one day we'll figure out the audio. But right now.
Today's not that day.
We don't get paid, so.
But.
We get paid for other jobs.
We do
have an income stream. Oh, I was just going back to the new year. Are you a New Year's resolution kind of person? That was really what I wanted to ask. Or like, do you get excited about New Year's? Or you're just like, it's just a new month. Like, it's just nothing new.
I like the symbolism of starting a new year, and I don't really do resolutions as much as, like, every new month is an opportunity for me to reset and be like, okay, I want to hit certain goals this month. I want to get back to a balanced lifestyle or meditating more or whatever, you know, so... Those are things that I'm looking forward to in 2024.
Yeah. Woo!
And the start of the new year is opportunity to look forward to those things. Yeah. How about you?
I love it. I love like goal setting, and I've gotten better. Mm-hmm. Well, I've gotten better at setting goals and setting smart goals where it's like.
I'm laughing because this is something I hear now at work with you. I'm like, oh, a smart goal. I know what that is.
I'm not great at following them. Although I met, because I think I met my two big goals last year in the first month, and I was like, well, I don't need to do anything else, which was get a job and move, which I did in January of last year.
Yeah, so then you're like,
I was like, I'm done.
Cruise control from here.
Don't need anything else. So I like that part. I also love that, I like the idea of like starting fresh, you know, blank slate. Also love the fact that my birthday is almost exactly half a year in.
That's true.
So every half a year, I feel like I have the opportunity to be like, all right, well, this is a new year for me.
A new year for you and your existence.
You know? So I'm excited about that. I have a goal this year.
Okay.
I want to increase my wildlife viewings, not just birds, although it'll be primarily birds. For those who don't know, I love to keep a species list. Mm-hmm. And I want to see 1,000 species this year.
Whoa!
They don't have to be new to me. They're just, I keep them
just
this
keep,
year.
Yeah.
And I want to keep track of like when I see them, where I see
How
them.
How fun.
So both local, hopefully like plan some trips that maybe might be wildlife focused.
We got to get you like a wildlife journal for
I
that.
So I got like 2 days to figure out how I'm going to do this. But that's one big one. That's
I love that. Here. That's a fun goal. I haven't given much thought to 2024 yet in terms of my goals. Maybe we'll both find love. In 2024.
I doubt it.
I do. We should definitely just quickly catch everyone up on just the craziness that has been our dating lives, right? After we stopped recording, I went on a few dates with just real winners. Mm. One of whom ended up like
being married.
Yeah, that was really not great.
Maggie didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Until, like, what, more than halfway through the date or something like that?
2 hours into the date.
My God.
He just casually was like, just so you know, I'm married. I'm like, just so I know.
We need to be up front with that kind of thing.
That's information you share with me immediately, and then I make a decision. What? Oh, my God. So men are stupid. I would love for you to share your story from today. Because I think
Maggie's
it's so
obsessed
funny.
With this story.
I just it's heard brand it, new. And it's really funny.
I was like swiping through the dating apps. Maggie's not on any dating apps, right?
No,
still
I'm not.
Case. I begrudgingly am, and maybe that's 2024. No more dating apps.
Awesome.
I just hate it.
I mean, opportunity happens in real life.
But I came across somebody, and there is a video on my dating profile that's me in the back of a car when Maggie and a friend and I we went on a hike. And there are four dogs in the car, and they're basically all in the back seat with me, like climbing over me. And so it's that video, and Argos is in the background, and somebody matched with me. And their first comment was, hey, weird, but is the dog in the background Argos? And I was in a grumpy mood, so I didn't match with them. I should have taken a screenshot, because I take screenshots of, like, I have a prompt that's like, what's your favorite bird? Mm-hmm. And the responses that I get are not
some
even are good. But sometimes they'll be like, they'll answer, they'll be like, penguin, is that a bird? I'm like, what else do you think it is?
What else could it be?
What else?
It's not a fucking mammal.
Like, to me, it's a red flag. To other people, they wouldn't give a shit, but I'm different.
No,
but anyway,
I think that's a good standard.
So I should have taken a screenshot to be like, Maggie, do you know who this person is?
You don't
and
even...
She keeps being like, but they know me, but they don't know you. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of people, Maggie, that know you and don't know me.
You don't even remember his name?
No. Mistakes were made, all right?
I don't care
which. Wait. I have a present for you.
Oh, right. We have presents to exchange.
Yes. We're recording right after Christmas-ish. And, actually, I had this gift for Maggie before Christmas, but if we're not filming it, our friendship's not real.
Oh.
So, I wrapped it. Maggie didn't wrap my present.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
But it's a two-parter.
Okay.
I'm very proud of them. Maggie is texting while I'm trying
I'm posting
to give her
to our Instagram
a present.
Okay, thanks. Oh, look at these wonderfully wrapped things. I bet
Thank
one
you.
Is a calendar. Should I open one
you
first?
Bitch.
What do you think? What else could it be?
I'll take it back.
I am excited though. I bet it's something great. I bet it's something on brand and themed. Oh, very cool. Oh, okay. Everybody, this is the Peppermint Narwhal Animal Holiday Calendar, which is an account that Ashley and I follow.
Oh, if you don't follow Peppermint Narwhal,
you gotta fucking
and you listen
do it.
To this podcast, you're doing something wrong.
You're doing a lot of things.
So
oh,
many
Ashley, this is so cool.
So the calendar is really cool because it's filled with like all the different animal like holidays and months and recognition
well,
and stuff like like
now
that.
I don't even have to build out my own and personal so, content calendar. Here it is.
Honestly, so I also have one. I bought myself one Great. As well. Because then you can like reference like, oh, like this day is coming up, this week's coming up. And I'm then there's do also just things. Fun facts.
Oh wow. My gosh, this is so good. Let's see this one. Well, this is perfect.
Now you can reference this, what, 300 plus animals?
And 300 plus animal, nature, and conservation holidays. Well, this is more research than I've done tonight. This is great.
Actually, that's just your research.
Yeah.
You can just read facts
I just come back with that this was each week.
Her preparedness.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
so
now I can hang
cool.
mine up. I was like, I can't hang my calendar
no,
up.
No, you had to wait.
Until Maggie gets here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, then now I kind of wonder what this is. What is this? Oh. This is a very beautiful box of anchovies.
Isn't it just beautiful, though?
Oh, I think I ripped part of the design.
No, that's okay.
And the best part is it is MSC certified.
It is.
Sustainable, which is one of my previous employers.
But yeah, well, yeah, I got that at this cute little cheese shop in Syracuse.
Oh,
and
my
first
God.
I bought you sardines, and then I was like about to check out. I was like, wait.
Not sardines.
It's not sardines. It's anchovies.
It's anchovies. I fucking love anchovies. This is so cool. Oh, I can't wait to eat them. Okay, here is yours. There's two different presents in here. It's in a box, but it's not wrapped. I'm
wow.
so sorry.
Gorgeous. It says for Maggie. That's confusing.
I recycle things.
Interesting. Oh! We've got a beautiful Lord of the Rings ornament. I can put it right on my tree, because yeah. my tree is still up.
I know, I'm so glad. I wanted to bring it to you last week before you left, but forgot.
Don't worry. I don't take things down quickly. Beautiful. Thank you.
And now a completely
you.
Unrelated gift.
Oh! They're so cute! They are rhino salt and pepper shakers. And they're the funniest looking rhino.
I know.
Oh, they're beautiful.
You don't have to use them as salt and pepper shakers.
Oh, I will. Oh,
okay.
I have like a salt and pepper like grinders, but like these are much better. They're much cuter. Thank you.
Aren't they just cute? They're thrifted,
oh my gosh.
Of course.
Oh, that makes them even better.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yay!
Yay!
We did a good job.
I know. Thank you so much. These are good. These are perfect.
Well done. On theme and everything.
Ugh.
All right.
Now we can talk about
animals. Now that we've done our gift exchange, it's been 900 minutes, give or take. I am excited for this because I'm just an excitable person.
Uh-huh.
I have a clue. I think it's pretty good. I think you'll be surprised by the animal I picked.
I'm interested because you started to read An Immense World.
Yes. So I got this book actually for Christmas last year. My parents got it for me. It's called An Immense World by Ed Yong. And I've only just started to read it, and I was like, so I'm not good at, I just got back into reading this year.
Oh.
That was a big success of mine.
Oh, great.
But I'm really bad at reading nonfiction, because I read before bed, and
I
get tired too fast.
Get one sentence in.
So now I have a notebook, so I basically take notes as I read.
Fun.
Which will be great for this, but it's so far, I'm only like 60 pages in. It's so good. So good. But anyway, my clue is that this is a meal that looks good and also really looks at you.
A meal.
Yes. It's also an animal. This is a food podcast now.
I'm like, well, I didn't bring any recipes. a meal that looks really good.
Yeah. Basically, you can eat it.
Turkey.
And it really looks at you.
And it really looks at you. It's like, it is a riddle. I feel like we are we're at the bottom of the Misty Mountains and we're exchanging riddles.
I'm a troll on your bridge.
And you're gullum. A meal. Is the meal the name of the animal?
Yes? I don't know. I don't know your question.
So, I mean, turkey. That is something, like, I'm going to go have some turkey, but I'm not referring to, like, the actual bird. I'm referring to the meat. The
True.
Meal.
Yeah. So it is the meat of the animal when you say.
Okay.
The meal itself. It's a seafood meal. Seafood dinner. Looks good. Tastes good more, but for the purpose of the riddle, looks good. Because it really looks at you.
Really looks at you. What's something that's going to look at me? Branzino?
What?
Because usually when you serve a branzino, it's the whole fish.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's looking at you. Seafood.
To be fair, when you serve it, it's not looking at you.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's part of the...
A meal that looks really good. And then what was the second half looks at you?
And also really looks at you.
Really looks at you.
I mean, take it too literally.
Okay, I'm taking it way too literally because I'm like, wow, I mean, sea lions are just so cute and they really look at you because they're curious.
When have you eaten a sea lion?
But I wouldn't eat one of them.
All right, do you want me to just tell you?
Is there a second clue or is that it?
That's it.
Okay,
that was great.
It's probably a great clue if I have any.
Well, here's the thing. You might not know this about this creature.
Okay.
I'm doing scallops.
Oh, yummy.
So a meal that, I mean, doesn't look good because it looks, but you know, like if you were wanted scallops, then you were served scallops.
A meal.
Scallops.
I would have said food.
A food that looks good.
It's good.
What is a scallop?
Mm.
So scallops are filter feeding marine bivalve mollusks in the family Pectinidae.
Okay.
So let's break that down. Filter feeders. So they're sitting there going, getting that plankton,
they're
filtering.
Cleaning the water.
Through. Marine, so these guys only live in salt water. You cannot find them in fresh water. Bivalve, so bivalves are are clams, oysters, mussels. Laterally compressed bodies enclosed by a shell consisting of two hinged parts. So if you've ever seen a clam, they look like clams. And then mollusks is one of the largest phylums of marine invertebrates. Also includes squids, octopus, snails, slugs, clams.
Cool.
Mollusks.
Love it.
That's what we got. Oh, so in terms of a meal or food, as I should have said.
Well, whatever.
When you're eating a scallop, you're eating the adductor muscle of a scallop. So it's the muscle that opens and closes the shell.
God, just some scallops with some butter, browned butter.
Mm.
Well, that makes sense, muscle.
Right?
So, okay, you're about to tell me what that means, right? Because I'm just eating that part of the scallop, which means there's more scallop to...
They're mainly muscle, not a lot of brain or like nervous system.
Okay, so just the scallop on my plate is the creature.
Yes. I mean, the creature also has shell and like...
Well, and the tendons connecting it to the...
Yeah, and all that. But you're eating the bulk of the creature, yeah.
Okay.
So there are actually over 400 known species of scallops.
Oh, wow.
All over the place. So I didn't pick a specific scallop. I'll reference
that's
some.
Fine. Yeah.
So where can you find them? You can find them all over the world, really. But they really like the Indo-Pacific region the most.
Oh, really? Because it's warm?
Maybe. I didn't see why.
Okay.
Probably just like high biodiversity.
Yeah, sure.
Good munchins. I'll also say they prefer, I don't actually know the preferences of scallops.
Right. You didn't have time to interview one of them.
Yeah, I didn't interview them.
Okay.
They tend to live in relatively shallow waters, although some species do prefer deeper waters. But what's really cool about them, I think, is most bivalves, like oysters and mussels, tend to cement themselves to things. So if you think of like oyster reefs.
Yeah.
Or like if you see mussels somewhere, they're usually clustered together.
Clustered, or they're on a bunch of rocks or like pillars.
Yeah. Not scallops. So scallops tend to be primarily free living, meaning that they'll actually swim short distances on the ocean floor.
What?
When they're young, they will like attach to like seagrasses when they're really, really little. Okay. But once they get bigger, most species of scallops are free living. They don't stay in one place.
That's pretty cool.
They're not swimming major distances. They're not migrating.
No, sure, but they can move around.
They can move
and they're
around.
They're not just...
Compared to other...
Bivalves.
Thank you. So why did I pick them?
Would love to know.
Like I mentioned in the beginning, I'm reading the book An Immense World by Ed Yong. Basically, this book dives into the umwelt of different species. And umwelt is basically how different animals perceive the world.
Oh, yeah.
So it just kind of walks through like the different animals utilize vision, utilize smell and stuff like that. It's so cool, but it's also like at the same time, it's just such a mind fuck, which I guess we swear on this, so it's fine. Of just like, it's so hard to describe a sense that you don't have.
Right, yeah.
So like, it's just, and he does such a good job though of like talking through it and talking through all these different studies. And so the the thing that he talks about them primarily is vision, but he also talks a little bit about how they're known for this movement. So first thing was how they move. In the book, he described it as panicked castanets, which I laughed out loud at. So castanets, do you know what a castanet is? Mm-mm. It's like a, I was a percussionist in high school. It's like these little like clapper things. Like they're used, I think, like in a lot of like Spanish dancing and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
So they look, and that's like, if you see these guys swim, it just looks like, because they get up and they like squirt, 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 and like swim away.
Oh my God, that's
so
hilarious.
When he said it, I was like, that's so incredibly accurate.
Wow, so how clever.
These guys swim, but they swim in these kind of brief bursts, primarily to escape predators. And it's pretty easy, pretty basic how they swim, is they open up their valves or their top and bottom shells, and then they close it, and they swim two ways. They can swim forward,
okay,
which is just called swimming. So they suck in the water when they open it, and then when they close it, they eject the water through small holes at the back of their hinge, and then they move forward.
So the open part of the clam, the open part of the shell,
yeah,
is moving forward.
Yes.
Whoa.
So like move. So they open up,
like,
get water.
Like Pac-Man.
It's called the gate. Yeah, and then when they close it, they expel that water behind them, so they can swim forward.
Okay.
And when they do this, they usually like do it three times, and they kind of like swim, float through the water, and then they'll just kind of sink to the ground. And that's how they move. And it's pretty energy intensive. So they do like three little squirts and then they're done.
Oh my God.
That's how they escape. But they also will jump, which is when they move backwards.
Oh.
Which is basically they suck in water and then spit it out the front. So they're just kind of plopping backwards. And that they usually stay between each little plop, little hop, little jump. They're hitting the ocean floor. They're not floating like they do when they move forward.
Okay. Well, that might make some sense too, because if they're going backwards to get away from predators, and they're on the floor, they're kicking up maybe some sand to, what's the word? To disorient.
Yeah.
The predator.
Sure.
That makes perfect sense to
me. Oh my gosh, she's a scientist, ladies and gentlemen. but yeah, so I just thought that was really funny. If you look up videos of scallop swimming, they do look like, and then look up a castanet.
I do want to look that up.
You will see the resemblance. Perfect. So that was really cool. But the thing that like really boggled my mind is how scallops see.
Ooh.
And scallop eyes.
Yes.
So depending on what species of scallops, they can have anywhere from a couple dozen eyes to 200 eyes.
What?
200 eyes. So all these eyes are arranged along their mantle. So it's basically like the lip of the shell. And they're all of the eyes are on little tentacles. Little little tentacles. So they're tiny, tiny little eyes.
I have to see this.
On little tentacles. And some eyes, depending on the scallops, this one was really interesting. If you look at bay scallops, their eyes are iridescent blue, so they look like neon blueberries.
Again, what?
That's an ideal description. So they're the eyes everywhere.
Those are their eyes?
Everywhere. And little tentacles. Which is not, when you're eating a scallop, which you're not eating that part.
You're not
of
eating that part of it.
But you're not thinking this thing has 200 eyes.
200 eyes that would have been looking at me. Yeah.
Right? Wild. So even crazier is that each eyeball has two retinas.
Okay.
For context, our eyeball, one retina each.
One retina.
They have two in each eye.
What?
And so I'm going to try my best to describe this, but again, describing something that you
can't comprehend.
And we still don't fully comprehend is difficult. So light passes through their eye twice, basically, and it sounds like in theory they see like it's a blurry background with a more focused image.
Okay.
How the light passes through, how that retina would work. However, they don't really have a brain. Like it's a very
right. So what do they need to be?
They're very seeing. Crude brain. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
So it's like when you say like what is it gets the whole thing of like what is seeing? You
right,
know?
Right. There's
what is perceiving versus anyway. So the question is then what is this vision used for? And so I'm right. gonna read through something from the book, pulling a Dan Hubble here.
Yes.
Because this got to me. Again, I wanna say it was like late at night when I was reading it, but like I still think it's hilarious. This one researcher, his name is Daniel Spicer. S-P-E-I.
Really hoping that was going to be Daniel Hubble.
It was him studying scallops. I wouldn't be surprised.
I know.
So what does a scallop use its vision for? To find out, Spicer ran an experiment that he called Scallop TV. He strapped their shells to small seats, placed them in front of a monitor, and showed them computer-generated movies of small drifting particles. It was such a ridiculous setup that no one seriously thought that it would work. But it did. If the particles were large enough and moving slowly enough, the scallops opened their shells as if ready to feed. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen, Johnson tells me. So they set up little TVs
for these scallops. Strapped them to seats.
So originally it was thought that it was reacting to prey and feeding. Now he thinks it's more, it goes on to talk a little bit more of, because they're still not sure. Yeah. It's more of a reaction to a stimuli, because they're not seeing things. Like the way
it's almost like a trap
scenes,
camera.
Kind of, it's just reacting.
Right.
And the way that he ended up describing it is kind of like, if you compared it to like our, because we're such a visual focused species, but if you like compared it to touch, where like if something touches you, you don't tactilely make a scene from that. You just know that something happened. So then you turn and use a secondary sense, your vision, and look at it.
Okay.
Where what he is thinking is that it senses something, doesn't know what it is or like have a visual scene, but then it can react with other stimuli because it also the scallops have like scent receptors, chemoreceptors between all of those eyes. So then they can smell it and kind of like investigate it further. So it's kind of like our version of touch of like, there's something there, I need to investigate it further.
Right.
But they're not seeing the way like we see things.
Right.
They're not seeing scenes.
I was just going to say like I wouldn't even describe it as the senses as we know them.
Yeah.
It's probably different senses that we just can't comprehend yet. We don't have the words for it because we don't know what it is quite yet. That's just mind blowing.
But isn't it? But they have like this super, like, because there's like different levels of eyes and their eyes are complex eyes. They're not these simple things.
Well, I mean, which is fascinating too, because they're very small, mm-hmm. ancient, simple creatures. Like, there's not much brain to them.
Yeah.
But you think about mantis shrimp, right? Like, they're small, but their eyes are seeing
so
things.
So complex.
So, their eyes are seeing things so differently than what we could even need to see or think.
Right? So, so it's just a little taste of this book that is starting my new year. Expect more examples or just like little bursts of inspiration. Generally speaking, how are they doing? How are scallops doing? They're doing fine.
Yeah.
There's over 400 species, so I cannot speak to every species of scallop. On the east coast of the United States, over the last 100 years, the populations of bay scallops have greatly diminished due to several factors. A lot of it's reduction of seagrasses. I think I mentioned briefly in the beginning that like baby scallops will attach to seagrasses before they're kind of these free moving guys. So increased coastal development and things like that, nutrient runoff will be bad for their populations.
It will be bad.
there was a population they were overfished in New Zealand fisheries.
Mm.
So the fishery was closed and then was able to recover and they could reopen it. Overfishing, obviously, going to be a problem if we do it. They seem to be pretty well managed. They're usually harvested, though, with dredges or bottom trawls, which can be detrimental to the environment. So just always keep an eye out when you're buying seafood. Make sure it's sustainably sourced.
Look for that label.
Look for the little blue label. I also think I was looking, they do a lot of, it's not agriculture, aquaculture with scallops.
Oh, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
I mean, aquaculture I'm like sometimes wary of, but with things like bivalves, you can do it in a much healthier way. Yeah. Yahoo.
But yeah, so now you know a little bit more about scallops.
Scallops, the food that looks at me. Holy smokes. Like,
killer eyes. Did you see the blueberry eyes?
I did. That's what I looked up.
Wild?
Mean, go ahead and Google that, gang, if you haven't yet. That is insane.
Ridiculous.
And just like the kind of thing that you want to go down a rabbit hole in or with. Like, take some CBD, smoke some weed, whatever you want, and just go ham.
Look at scallop eyes. At scallop and the little eyes. Tentacles. The little tentacles That's really get me.
Nuts! Oh my gosh. Thank you. That was a really good, unique
creature. I was like, she'll never expect this.
No, definitely did not. Thank you for that. That was a great first.
We're back.
Mm-hmm. It was perfect. Okay. Are you ready for this animal?
I'm so ready.
I think you are. And I think you're going to get the hint because it's not that difficult, but also... you're gonna see why.
Great. Also, you're gonna see why.
Okay, so this animal, like a lot of cool creatures, mm-hmm. has a lot of nicknames. And I think back to, like, you and I have talked about the Hellbender. And
okay, I was like, are you doing Hellbender? Because I already did that.
No. Thinking back to Hellbender and how they have so many great nicknames.
Yeah.
So this, unlike the Hellbender, has nicknames because, yes, it has nicknames, but it's all of its different names in different languages translated literally. So you're getting an idea that this animal is...
cosmopolitan.
Sorta.
Oh.
But it is in a lot of different languages, and its names include the Carcajou, Quick Hatch, Nasty Cat, Skunk Bear... and my favorite might be its Hungarian name, which translates to gluttonous badger.
Skunk bear.
Skunk bear, that's a good one. Nasty cat.
Nasty
cat. Carcajou. Well, quick hatch, like, glutton.
So I'm gluttonous, what was it, gluttonous badger?
Gluttonous badger.
But so I'm like, then is it not a badger?
Correct.
And then is it,
it's not a,
and it's not a skunk.
And it's not a skunk, and it's not a cat.
It's not a cat.
So here's another, like, kind of hint. All of these names are things it is not. Think of its American name. That is a word that includes a species it is not. It's going to make so much sense
once
you hear it.
I know it is. Once I hear it.
Yeah.
Once I hear it.
So it's not a skunk. It's not a bear.
It's not a cat.
It's not a cat. It's not a gluttonous badger.
It's not a gluttonous badger.
Well, it's kind of gluttonous.
Gluttonous. Is a gopher, muskrat.
You're...
gopher.
You're getting into the right...
marmot.
Closer.
Beaver.
No.
Farther away. All right, help me out.
Okay.
It's been too long.
I know, I'm so sorry. It is the largest member of the weasel family. On land. On land.
I was like, I've already done giant river otters.
But that family, that genus.
Genus.
Mustelidae.
The mustelids. Giant must. Is it? Help me out.
You give up?
I don't want to give up.
I know. So the reason you're going to know this and you're going to kick yourself for it, yep, is because it's really relevant to our company's work right
God
now.
God damn it.
So you did
a screaming fuck.
You did a good news on this.
Wolverines,
animal.
God damn it! Literally made a video.
You literally made a video about this animal.
Well, this is exciting.
I'm doing Wolverines because I
and not Hugh Jackman.
And not Hugh Jackman.
Still my
not,
favorite joke.
Not the Marvel character. So I'm really excited to do Wolverines because, well, I've learned a lot about them through work lately, and there's a lot of cool stuff about them. So
they're
first,
just cool.
They're just really fucking cool.
I didn't realize they were so gluttonous.
So it's because they will eat everything. Let's just get right into it. They are known, probably a lot of people know Wolverine from the comic book character. Why is he nicknamed that? Because he is known for being ferocious and tenacious and fearless, right? And that's what these animals are. Like, there are a lot of different stories about wolverines across different cultures, which we'll later get into. But that's why the superhero was named Wolverine, because they're really badass. Their Latin name is Gulo Gulo. As we pointed out, they are the largest member of the family Mustelidae.
Mustelidae. The Mustelids.
That means who's bigger than them? Giant river otters, some sea otters maybe?
Probably.
But they're in the same family as otters, minks.
Weasels.
What is a wolverine?
Those long-bodied things with teeth.
Right. what do they actually look like? They frankly look like a giant weasel that just hit puberty before everyone else. Or like they're on steroids.
And then they kind of got stepped on. They're a little flat, right?
They're a little, like, they're squat.
Squat.
Yes, they're mm-hmm. squat, but they're bulky, they're strong, they're big, they're stocky. Mm-hmm. Imagine, is there hair in your champagne?
Well, it looks like a bug.
There's no way.
I don't know what it is. No, it's on the floor. Falling apart, people. We couldn't record for so long because we were falling apart. We don't know how to be in public. We're not in public.
My favorite is when Ollie turns his back to us.
Oh, when he's like, I'm done with this.
I just am not interested. No, yeah.
Not at all.
Okay, so they, how big are they? What do they actually look like? They have dark, usually black or brown, long fur. Sometimes they have a light brown or white patch on them, depending on
like
where
Ollie.
Else. Like Ollie. Well, so Ollie, can you come here for the camera, please?
Ollie!
Absolutely not.
No, not at all. Come when called, not one of his strengths. He can spin in a circle for many days. But
so a Wolverine is like roughly the length of Ollie. But
Ollie.
But imagine 40 pounds heavier and stronger. And
40 pounds heavier. Mm-hmm. They're like 70 pounds.
They can get up to 70 pounds.
They're thick boys.
They are so freaking strong. Like insanely strong. Yes.
Also, he still has not moved.
He still hasn't even looked
just
up at us. Just completely ignored us. So where can you find Wolverines? Because I said they're in a lot of different countries, not
and
just...
And I said cosmopolitan, and you golfed at them.
They're not quite cosmopolitan because they require a very specific habitat.
Gotcha.
They require alpine habitat, which is not just, like, Arctic.
Yeah.
No, it's snowy mountains in the Rockies, the Alps. They're found throughout Siberia as well. So in addition to the snowy climates, their populations here in North America, they have a couple of like subspecies that they've discovered.
Okay.
But the species here, the population here in North America are direct descendants of an ancestor coming from the Bering Strait during the last glaciation period. I think this is cool to point out. Like a lot of animals migrated across the Bering Strait, but these animals were thriving in the cold. They loved it so much, they just wanted the glacier age, the ice age, to stick around forever. That is how they have evolved. They love the cold.
Were Wolverines in the movie Ice Age? Were there any Wolverine characters?
If there weren't, they really should have been.
For the creators of Ice Age, this is a complaint.
That's really...
Also, I loved that movie when I was younger.
Mm.
I recently rewatched it, recently as in like a year and a half ago. Not as good.
Really?
I think it's because the animation is just so bad.
It's not great.
In comparison. But then again, I watch A Bug's Life and I'm like, this is still fantastic.
See, okay, that's your like favorite movie,
I love Bug's Life.
And I never really liked A Bug's Life. I did like Ice Age because I think Sid is just so funny.
So funny. Anyway.
Wolverines.
They liked the Ice Age, but not enough to be in the movie, I think is what we're coming back
to. That's the lesson, that's the takeaway here. So here's the coolest thing I think about them loving the cold, them being cold loving. I just said the same exact thing.
Loving the cold, cold loving, you know what I mean.
One and the same.
You catch my drift.
They have fur that is hydrophobic.
Scared of water.
Which means it's resistant not only to like water, but frost.
What?
They can't get cold.
I need this.
Well, see, here's the problem.
A lot of other people did.
A lot of other people did at one time, and that's why we don't have a lot of Wolverines. So we'll get back to that. What do they eat? Why are they so ferocious and have this reputation? They're both hunters and scavengers.
Where there's a gatherer. The hunters and gatherers.
They are what we humans evolved from. And then a lightning bolt just strikes me down. So I thought this was really funny. When you are learning about what they will actually hunt, it says small to medium-sized mammals, but then you actually read what they've been observed taking down. A single Wolverine, because they're solitary, they live on their own. Here's what they will hunt. Porcupines, squirrels, chipmunks, beavers, marmots, moles, gophers, rabbits, voles, mice, rats, shrews, lemmings, caribou, deer, Mule deer, sheep, goats, cattle, bison, moose, and elk.
Bison? I will say I'm also so stuck on porcupine.
What the fuck? It's so their hunting technique is pretty much that they will prey on the weak and the small. Like, they're really keen on newborns.
They like the babies.
They do. But to take down a baby calf bison? Moose, a moose calf.
Moose. Again, same thing. You just said it in a different order.
Yeah, because calf moose didn't sound.
A calf moose?
A moose calf.
You know.
One and the same. So they're smart and strategic about how they hunt.
Damn.
And they are just fucking fearless when they go after something. They're ruthless. And, like, because they're small enough, too, there's less surface area for, say, a moose.
To stomp them.
Yep.
To stomp them. Back to the porcupine real quick.
Yeah.
Do you know that my parents, they went on a hike with the dogs, and my sister's dog and my parents' dog got hit in the face with the porcupine?
When?
And they had to go to the vet? Like, 2 years ago?
No.
Yeah. At, like, our favorite hiking place.
When the August place was, like, with pretty, the they're off, off-leash? It's off-leash. The off-leash park.
Yeah. Their recalls have gotten a lot better since then.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, like, these wolverines, they're smart and strategic about how they hunt.
Oh, you are a goat.
Sometimes, when they're feeling up to it, they'll have some bird's eggs. Some roots, seeds, insect larvae, berries.
Well, appetizer.
Yeah. Like, it's just, they're having different cuisine because they're, delicacies or something. So wolverines are so ferocious, but who's hunting them? Wolves. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to when I told you, like, bear cat, skunk bear, whatever, these things are not. Wolverine.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's just a false name. They were so named by, I don't know, whoever American named them first,
because it's a white guy.
Some white guy who saw how ferocious it was, and he was like, oh, that's behaving like a wolf.
Yeah.
Wolves aren't ferocious, but, like, they can take down giant prey. Yeah. That's what it was. Wolves, American black bears, brown bears, cougars, and golden eagles are capable.
Damn, those things can do damage.
Golden eagles, right? Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about their mating, because I think I mentioned, like, they're solitary. They're not hanging out together. They are induced ovulators, which is something we've talked about
before.
Oh,
I know all about induced ovulators.
Right?
Oh. Mm. So excited to hear another one.
I know, which is something that we are familiar with because of cats.
Yes.
Typically, mating season for wolverines is in the summer, but the actual implantation of the embryo isn't until early winter.
They also have delayed implantations?
Yes. And the female, it's based on food availability.
Nice!
So, like, these animals are so responsive to their environment. And, I mean, this is evolution at its best.
Yeah.
They have completely evolved for their the ecosystems that they live in. And, again, getting back to them being solitary, they can travel, like, 18 to 20 miles in a day. They cover vast ranges, which is why they are these induced ovulators, because they're not likely to often come across another one of them. But yeah, okay, so females will often, gestation period is 30 to 50 days. Litters are typically 2 or 3 kits that are born in the spring. They develop rapidly and they reach adult size within their first year.
Dang.
They'll live to about 15 to 17 years in captivity. In the wild, it's more like 8 to 10, which is really normal for any carnivore.
Yeah.
Here's a really cool thing, though, about the fathers. They will make visits to their offspring until they are weaned at 10 weeks of age. This is thought because they want to ensure that their offspring are
still around
and not being eaten by another male wolverine who happens along, mom. Once they are about 6 months old, some will reconnect with their fathers and travel for a time.
Aww.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Not mom. She's like, I did the hard work.
I've done what's been needed to be done.
Very cool. The wolverine, where is it in the U.S.? I think that's pretty relevant to most of our listeners. They're pretty rare. You're going to find them most likely in Montana or Alaska. Alaska's your best shot, followed by Montana. But the reason that they are relevant to me at work right now is because we just earned a super big victory for wolverines, and that is they are now listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, which gives them certain protections and means that, like, we could possibly reintroduce them to Colorado. We saw the one in California earlier this year that you did a good news video on. So,
should have guessed that so much earlier than I did. Talked so much about wolverines.
Because they are so rare, like, we just don't know exactly how their populations are doing. Mm-hmm. But not well. And they're also elusive. Like, they don't want to fucking see people.
No.
They're too smart to see people.
Yeah.
But you're probably not going to see one in the lower 48 if you want to.
Sorry.
Not only because they're rare, but because they don't want to see you.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about wolverines. I also mentioned earlier that they are often in indigenous culture lore as like a trickster, sometimes mm-hmm. as a founder of the earth. Like, there's just a lot of different stories. But the one thing that I think is common throughout all cultures, all languages, is that the wolverine is revered. Mm-hmm. It is respected because it is a small, ferocious, fearless predator that just doesn't often lose if conditions are right. If it has its snowpack right. that it needs. But hey, climate change.
Oh, that's a fun one.
So that is the wolverine for you.
Oh, so good.
Super cool animal.
So ferocious, but like, oh, I love like the little, it reminds me, it reminds me of Slytherin.
Oh.
Don't want to get into the
really?
Hair. Yeah. Well, as someone who is a Slytherin, like that to me is like the biggest compliment of like, very like sly and clever and like powerful, but you don't expect it. Like
sure.
that's what I think.
That's fair. So I mean, that is probably, yeah, probably is a very Slytherin resonant
right?
animal.
So that's
yeah.
like, you don't see me coming, you know? Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Oh, so good.
That's a wolverine.
I want
to
see one. That's going to be on my list. I'm going
to
see one.
So here's the thing. You got to go to Montana, I would say, or
okay.
Alaska.
All right.
Tough places to go to, right?
Pull my arm.
I know. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be an opportunity. I think that would be swell.
I think it was Montana where I saw an American badger, which, greatest sighting of my life.
What?
It was when I did, the first time I ever drove cross country with two friends from college, and mm-hmm. we kept a species list. So,
okay.
like, species list, again, very yeah. common in how I travel.
Yeah.
And we were driving to this Airbnb in Montana, right outside of Yellowstone. And as we were driving, it was a badger, which similar size and shape to a wolverine.
Yeah,
like,
just
very
even
flat,
lower.
Low to
yeah.
the ground. And it was on the side of the road, like running next to like this fence. And I was just
oh.
like, I wasn't the one driving, I don't think. And I was like, I think it was with my friend Alex. And I was like, stop the car.
Oh my God.
And we pulled over, and sure enough, and I have a photo of it somewhere, of it just like running along the side of the
oh,
road.
Oh man.
But like, it, basically if you see like any kind of weasel, mustelid, like,
yeah.
it's very, like, it feels like it's such an accomplishment. Because
oh,
they don't want to be seen.
They don't. They're so good at avoiding.
Avoiding.
They avoid it all.
Oh, my gosh. So that is a cool, I've never seen a badger in the wild.
It was I was like, all right, I was really good at spotting mammals that trip. That was mm-hmm. when I found the porcupine.
The porcupine, is that the
in
same?
In a tree.
Damn it.
So,
that is so cool.
Now that I have a goal, I'm going to see one. I'll go to Montana. Pull my
wolverine.
Arm.
Gotta go to the mountains.
But I think that was great. We're back. We'll see. I've hit the lamp for a third time.
Might
hopefully,
have to move that
hopefully
lamp.
Hopefully we can keep up the consistency. I know I want to. I know Maggie wants
we
to.
Want
I know
to.
You
we
want to.
We want to make this. You know what? I'm just so pleased for all you fans that have actually been asking, when are you guys coming back? Thank you.
And it wasn't just my mom.
It wasn't just our parents. Thank you. But as always, we do have to add, there's a reminder that we're not scientists.
Sounds like it.
I know that we might come across as scientists, but we're not. So please do your own research. We just want you to get excited about animals like we are. But thank you for joining us, as always. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a review. It will help us to reach more animal enthusiasts just like you. You can also find us on Instagram @TheWateringHolePod, on YouTube @TheWateringHolePod, And you can visit our website, thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it.
All right, bye!